I'm Daniel Biss. I'm state senator in the 9th District. I'm running for governor of Illinois. Let me tell you a little bit about that and me and what this whole situation is, and then we can go back to beer and questions and answers. But let me start here. I didn't expect to find myself doing any of this stuff with my life. I didn't expect certainly to be running for governor. I didn't expect to get into politics. I fell in love with mathematics when I was 14 years old. I assume all of you did too. Thank you. Thank you. In every room, somebody laughs at that, but the rooms where people applaud to are my favorite rooms. And so I just like knew I was going to be a mathematician and didn't really think about it any longer. Didn't spend time wondering what I was going to be when I grew up. I knew. And so in 2002, I came to the University of Chicago and joined their mathematics faculty, and that was my dream job. I never thought I would apply for another job, move, do anything different. And then 6 months later, we went to war in Iraq. And then pictures started coming home from Abu Ghraib. I was learning about the fact that our country was making dangerous, dishonest decisions. We weren't concerned about reality or the truth. We were acting recklessly, and I was supposed to be this like math empiricism find the truth guy, and it felt dangerous and dishonest and, to be honest, scary. And so I just decided to get involved somehow and started knocking on doors, went door to door and block to block and neighbor to neighborhood, and during the course of that campaign, organizing thousands of people, became utterly, utterly passionate about this vision of organizing people working together on a community level to make social change. I didn't plan to get involved in, you know, organizing. I planned to be like a policy guy because I was a mathematician. That's what a mathematician should do. They should write white papers and hide in a basement somewhere where they're not seen. But I fell in love with the idea that we could organize people to make change, that in fact the only way to make durable change is to organize movements of people around it. And so one thing led to another. I ran for the legislature. I lost my first race. I was lucky enough to have another chance. I've been in the General Assembly for 6 years. And where are we now exactly? Let's see. So it's 2017. We have this president. Maybe you've heard of him. And I think back to the stuff that got me passionate about organizing and activism back in 2004, and I think, how quaint. I think, wouldn't it be great if we only had those problems to deal with now? Wouldn't it be great if the level of recklessness and dishonesty coming out of Washington now were only as bad as it was in 2003 and 2004. Instead, it's a whole new world. And not only is it a whole new world of hurt, it's a whole new world of activism, it's a whole new world of passion, it's a whole new world of people in every corner of this state, in university towns, yes, but everywhere else also, rising up, organizing themselves, trying to figure out how to build the movement to make social change. And I want you to know that as we form this resistance movement against the Trump administration, we have a role to play in state government. This is not a fight that's going to be won only in Washington. It's a fight with crucial federal dimensions as well. That's why in the beginning of this legislative session, I introduced a bill that says you can't appear on the ballot for president unless you've released 5 years of tax returns. Thank you. Thank you. That's an important statement about the kind of conflicts of interest that this president is involved in and about basic transparency. But guess what? Our work in Springfield goes beyond that. There's a law on the books today in Illinois that says that if Roe v. Wade were to be repealed, abortion becomes illegal immediately. Immediately. We have a bill to fix that. It's called House Bill 40. We've been fighting and organizing and working to pass that bill. We hadn't quite had the votes yet in the House. We're still working on it. When last week, Governor Rauner said that if it gets to his desk, he's going to veto it. He said he's going to veto that bill. So here we have a moment where this governor, who campaigned on the premise of I don't have a social agenda, don't worry about me, he now gets to choose. Is he going to stand with Donald Trump and his radical Supreme Court, or is he going to stand with Illinois women? Our governor decided he's going to stand with Donald Trump. So we have crucial battles to fight around social justice that we can eventually win in Springfield to transform the fights that are being waged against us and against vulnerable communities in Illinois by this president. But as important as all of that is, here's the other thing. The state has some problems of its own. The state has some troubles that you may have read something about. And I feel a little bit ridiculous even beginning to enumerate them here in Champaign, of all places, here where the crucial economic engine of the community is being decimated, but I'm going to enumerate them anyway because it's important to say it out loud. It's not just the higher education system, the 9 public universities, the community colleges across the state, the 130,000 young people who rely on MAP grants to be able to afford tuition who are being dishonestly treated by this state government. It's not just that. It's other education. It's the city of Chicago, where they don't know if they're going to have to cancel 13 days of the school year this year, and it's school districts across the state of Illinois. Hey. Ladies and gentlemen, former state representative Naomi Jacobson. It's school districts across the state of Illinois that honestly can't say if they're going to be able to afford to open next fall. It's the 40,000 people who've lost access to childcare. That's 40,000 mostly single moms who now can't go to work or else can't know that they're going to have their children safe while they're at work. It's the 80,000 people who've lost access to mental health care and 24,000 people who have lost access to substance abuse treatment. 15,000 kids have lost access to safe places to be after school, and then we're supposed to be surprised that there's more violence. This is life and death. This is life, and this is death. And this is a result of the failures of Bruce Rauner. But let's be honest for a second. When Bruce Rauner became governor in January of 2015, not everything in the state of Illinois was perfect. We already had more debt than any other state, a worse credit rating. We already had broken the record for consecutive incarceration of governors. We had plenty of troubles. And then the people of Illinois, funny but also sad, we in Illinois elected a billionaire businessman who said he was going to fix things for us even though he had no experience. And I think we elected him not because we liked his ideas, but because there was a sense that Democrats hadn't done enough. The Democrats had been in power in Springfield for 12 years, and yet we still had the fourth most unfair tax system in the country, where we tax the middle class and the working poor more, and the richest Illinois residents, who've been the beneficiaries of two generations of all the economic growth, aren't being asked to pay their fair share. We were in power for 12 years, and yet our minimum wage was still $8.25. As progressive states across the country are raising the minimum wage, including all the way up to 15 in several states. We'd been in control for 12 years, and yet we hadn't passed paid sick leave, family leave. We weren't doing the progressive pro-worker economic fairness agenda that Democrats ought to be standing for, and Democrats have shown the ability to enact in other states. And when they enact them, guess what? These things are popular, they work, they grow the economy, and they get Democrats reelected because workers like to be treated fairly. We hadn't done those things. And so we have to defeat Bruce Rauner in 2018. But it's not enough just to defeat Bruce Rauner in 2018. We've got to do a couple more things than that. Number one, we have to defeat him by laying out a clear progressive agenda, explaining how we can balance the budget by taxing people who have not been asked to pay their share, by changing the Constitution to finally allow for a progressive income tax, finding the revenue where it is. We've got someone in the room who's been fighting for that for a very long time, Naomi. We need to lay out a clear agenda of, once you've done that and brought in adequate revenue, you can fund schools properly, so we don't have the most inequitable school funding system of any state in the country. And by the way, you can fund community colleges and universities properly as well. And in doing that, you can make them affordable to everybody. By the way, we should lay out an agenda about what kind of commitment we need to make with our social services, and we need to lay out an agenda about how to raise wages. about how to create jobs in every neighborhood of the state of Illinois by investing in every neighborhood in the state of Illinois, because we believe in people in every neighborhood in the state of Illinois. And the question then is, how come we haven't done this before? And the answer is that our politics has always been controlled by somebody else, by a political machine or by a billionaire. And the decisions that are made in a room with a door locked, and we're not in it. There's a few people at a table, and they're deciding who gets what. They're making decisions about us, without us. And the way to fix that, there's only one way, and it comes back to what I learned when I first got involved in politics as an organizer in 2004, and the way to do it is by building a movement of people. The way to do it is by organizing people in every corner of the state. The way to do it is by funding a campaign with small contributions from people across the state who are then invested, who care, who talk to their neighbors, who talk to their friends, and help grow that movement out. And once you've done that, you don't only have a political force powerful enough to win an election against any billionaire you can find. You also have a political force powerful enough to demand real change from the legislature once you've won those elections. And that's what we have the ability to do now, in a way that I believe we have not before. In a way that we haven't before because there wasn't this kind of flourishing of activism across the state before. And it's an incredible opportunity for the state, because it's not new that we know we need a fair tax system. It's not new that we know we need a balanced budget that invests in communities and invests in education. It's not new that we know we need to raise wages and protect workers. It's new that we have the tools to do it. And so this movement that we're building is about so much more than just stopping a horrendous governor and a nightmare of a president and putting an end to a bunch of bad stuff. It's about enacting a progressive agenda that we've always wanted but didn't have the tools to build, that if we build it, if we enact it, then 30 years from now, we're going to look back and feel lucky that we had this opportunity. 30 years from now, we're going to have a thriving economy, a balanced budget, well-funded public higher education and public elementary and secondary education. We're going to look back and not understand why it was so hard. We're going to look back and feel proud of having been a part of this. And we're going to look back and say, remember that time when people were leaving Illinois? Why would anyone ever do that? And so I am incredibly excited about this campaign because of what it could mean for our long-term future, because of the kind of state we could live in 10 and also 40 years, and because of the people I've had the privilege of meeting across the state to do it. I am so appreciative of the chance to be with you tonight. I ask you to participate in this campaign. I ask you to join this campaign because of the movement that it has a chance to be. I ask you to join this campaign because you believe with me that our state can ask so much more of its government and can build the movement that will be able to get so much more of its government. I ask you to join this movement not because of what we see happening wrong, but because of what we know can happen right. And I just end by saying, thank you for your consideration. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your activism. Thank you for your commitment. Thank you, thank you, thank you.